It's Saturday, the 30th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Jalen Rose. Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Brandon Hamilton 13. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Brandon Hamilton 13, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor for a day. It is straightforward. Also, don't forget moneyball.com.au, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. They've been fantastic in supporting the show. I'm sure plenty of you guys in Australia and New Zealand have really enjoyed playing on the contests on there. So big thanks to them. And hey, great for us in Australia, able to join in all the DFS action. Quick update on the Red Rock contest that is currently running. Not a contest, competition. I think that's maybe an easier way, or a better way of phrasing it. You guys smashed iTunes yesterday. So many reviews came in. I reckon by the end of this weekend, the contest will be done. We'll be at 400 reviews. If we have the same response yesterday that we do have, sorry, if we have the same response today that we had yesterday, the contest will be done. We are getting agonizingly close to 400, and that 400th person will win an NBA jersey. It is straightforward. Sign on to iTunes. Hey, create a second account on iTunes. Leave another review. If you download the podcast on Android, go onto your computer, download iTunes, leave a review. Get yourself into the contest, and you will be the 400th person will win an NBA jersey. We are getting very, very close. Tremendous strides made in the last day. Just a stack of reviews came in, almost there. And yeah, I reckon next 24 hours, I reckon we're going to have number 400 up with the rate of reviews that are coming in. So thank you to you guys doing that. It's free for you. You get a chance to win a jersey. Helps the podcast. Everything grows. Everything that you listen to hopefully gets better as well. Keeps this podcast on the air. And we're approaching episode 500 next week. 2 years, 500 episodes. We'll be celebrating that next week as well. That's enough competition talk. That's enough waffling.
Let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night.
Kevin!
Yep. Kevin Durant. Again, was fantastic. He played 40 minutes in the Thunder's victory over the Rockets. He doesn't need the Rockets bump to go big, but it helps. 33-12 for Durant. 2 triples, 3 assists, had a steal, had a block, went 11 of 18 from the field, hit all 9 of his free throws. He is in a super, super run of form at the moment. Second best player in the game for fantasy. He's averaging 30 points a game over his last 8 contests. 9.5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2.3 triples, 1.3 steals, 1 block on 48 and 87. They're incredible numbers. He is doing tremendous work from a fantasy point of view. The injury appears good. Fingers crossed, touch wood, all that sort of stuff, that nothing happens more to his foot. But he is back to his best, and it's only a ridiculous Steph Curry season that is keeping Durant off the number one spot. So big ups if you happen to draft him this year. I admit I didn't draft him I drafted him one league, a dynasty league, because I was worried about the foot and I don't want too much worry for my first couple of picks, or for my first pick especially. But yeah, Durant's going to be back in that number one, number two conversation for next season, absolutely no doubt. The waiver wire line of the night, and normally when I do waiver wire line of the night, I want to get a guy who's owned in normally less than 60% of leagues. Mason Plumlee's owned in 60% of leagues, so I'm cheating a little bit by putting him in there, but I really wanted to highlight what he's been doing. Mason Plumlee played 29 minutes for the Blazers against the Hornets. He went 13-12-5. He had 2 steals. He had 2 blocks. He was 6 of 10 from the field. Mason Plumlee is available in 40% of leagues. Mason Plumlee's last week, he's a top 20 player. Mason Plumlee's last 2 weeks, he's a top 40 player. He is putting up tremendous numbers. And you know why? Because he's averaging in those last 2 weeks 4 assists from a center. He's giving you 8.7 boards. He's giving you 1.5 steals, 1.2 blocks, 55% from the field, and he's got his free throws up to 70% over those last 2 weeks. There is other big men in Portland, but he's distanced himself from Ed Davis. He's distanced himself from Myers Leonard, who plays a bit of four as well. He is getting, he's not getting 30 minutes a night. He doesn't need 30 minutes a night to be fantasy relevant. For the season, he's averaging 26 minutes a game. His last week, he's averaging 25.6. He's a top 20 player in 25.6 minutes, going 12.7, 9.3, four assists, two steals, 1.3 blocks on ridiculous percentages. He's improved his game tremendously. Watch him play, watch his passing. It's not flukish. His passing is at a completely different level this season than what we saw it previously in Brooklyn. He's always been a pretty good steals guy for a center, and keeping that up this year, improved his blocks, improving his free throws a lot as well. He's not just restricted to a punt free throw guy, which we thought he might be coming into the season, given he shot less than 50% from the field last year. He's back up over 60% this year, which isn't great, but it's build aroundable. And he has to be owned. He has to be owned in basically every league at this point. And he's not. He's only owned in 60% of leagues. So get over and have a look to see if Mason Plumlee is around. Make sure you don't make a mistake and add Miles Plumlee. Make sure it's Mason Plumlee, plays for Portland. I'm sure you all knew that. Go and add him to your league. The young gun of the night, no prizes for guessing. Karl-Anthony Towns went 32-12. He had a triple-one, added an assist, went 13 of 17 from the field, hit all five of his free throws. Is it outlandish for me to say that in the 2020 season he is going to be the best player in the NBA? I know we don't know who's coming into the league, but he is ridiculously good. Like, ridiculously good. I'd say by 2020, there's no doubt he's the number one fantasy player, or almost zero doubt in my mind that's the case. He could be the number one player in three seasons, which is almost at 2020 anyway. He can just do everything. And wait till he actually gets his assists up, because he can be like Mason Plumlee's getting four assists a game recently. Yeah, that's not out of bounds for Karl Towns. Wow, what a terrible rhyme that was. I didn't even mean that one either. After yesterday's boogie night fiasco, threw in a terrible rhyme there. So I apologize to all you listeners. Towns is incredible. He is a joy to watch. He's a thrill to watch. He is, over the last 2 weeks, I know I talked about Durant being the number two player. Over the last 2 weeks, Karl-Anthony Towns is the number two player. Averaging 21.7, 12 rebounds, half a three, 2.7 assists, a steal, 2.3 blocks, 63-92. He is almost guaranteed to be a first-round pick next season. He is almost a guarantee to finish inside the top 10 next season by the end of the year. And he will be the number one player in 4 or 5 seasons. I'm relatively confident of that. Real life and fantasy, that he's got a chance to do both of those things. Maybe I'm gushing too much, but geez, he is very, very good. And he's playing less than 30 minutes a game. At least recently, they're bumping it up. He's at 32 over the last 2 weeks, 31 over the last month. Just play him 32 minutes. Just let him run wild, and you are going to see ridiculous production. I know you don't need me to tell you how good Karl-Anthony Towns is, but I'm going to tell you anyway. He is the best rookie I've seen come into the league in... I don't even know. I can't... Maybe Durant, but even still, he's better than Durant. Chris Paul? Maybe? I don't know. He's ridiculously good. Ridiculous. The dud of the night is on the same team as Karl-Anthony Towns. Like Karl-Anthony Towns, he was also a number one overall draft pick. Like Karl-Anthony Towns, he was not born in the USA. Andy Wiggins is... not good. He's okay. No, he's good. No, he's a good player. He's not a good fantasy player. He was brutally bad tonight. 36 minutes, 5 points, 0 3-pointers, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 2 steals, 0 blocks, 2 of 11 shooting, 1 of 2 from the free throw line. That is deplorably bad. He might be a top 50 player in 4 years' time, in 3 years' time. It's not happening this year. He's outside the top 100 on the year, and that's with a guy who's averaging 20 points a game. But he does nothing else. Nothing. Yeah, his steals are okay at 1 a game, but he's actually getting less steals this year than what he did last season. No rebound. No, look, his rebounds are less than last year. His assists are less than last season. His steals are less than last season. His blocks are less than last season. His free throw percentage is less than last season. On more attempts, he helps you in one category, points. And there's not massive negatives across the board, just little negatives, but he's a positive in one category. you probably, if you had a startup dynasty this year, you drafted him pretty high. It's not looking great at the moment, but obviously it's a dynasty. You've got a few years to go, but I don't know. There's just something about him that doesn't... I don't love. This is, I don't know. I don't have the same love for him that what I have for Towns, clearly. There's just something about him where he just never struck me as a good fantasy player. You know, coming into the league, before he even played, he was a guy that I was very lukewarm on, from a fantasy point of view. And it's playing out the way. He's got massive scope to get better. No doubt. He can hit 1.5 threes a game and get 6 boards and 3 assists and 1.5 steals and then prove me wrong. Nothing like that is close to happening at the moment. That might be 2 years away. If you're, he's not going to finish inside the top 100, it appears, this season, which is a bit disappointing because almost guaranteed he was drafted inside the top 100. Don't think there'd be many leagues where he wasn't drafted inside the top 100. Let's put up the perfect DFS lineup from Friday. At point guard, Kyrie Irving, 36.8. When he has to play bigger minutes, he does, and he's productive. Talk about Kyrie a little bit when we get to the Cavs game. Russ Westbrook, another 55 against the Rockets. He took it out on Pat Beverly. Big night from him. James Harden, 54.9. Similarly, he took it out on his former team against the Thunder. He was a really nice play at his salary. And with Jose Calderon out, Langston Galloway got another start and put up 34.9. So he was always a really, really solid option, assuming those guys were going to be out. Now, Mello did play, but with no Calderon, Galloway still got big run. At small forward, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 45.8. His salary was really high. I wasn't expecting that sort of production from him against Miami, but he was everywhere across the box score. And Al-Farouq Aminu, who's been really, really down, he took it to the Charlotte Hornets with 36.9, a little bit of an out-of-the-box performance from him. Kevin Love, 42.7. He's for all the crap that gets spoken about Kevin Love, he's actually putting in some decent performances over the last week or so, even with Kyrie Irving back. And if you had the other power forward in the perfect lineup, in your lineup, then I don't know. You have Gray's almanac because Tyler Hansbrough put up 34.8. He, Psycho T doesn't do a huge amount in the NBA, to be honest. And he just went crazy with a big double-double for the Hornets in a losing effort with Frank Kaminsky relegated to spot minutes. You couldn't have predicted that Tyler Hansbrough was going to do that. At center, Gorgui Dieng, massive minutes, almost got 40 minutes. Sam Mitchell, congratulations, maybe. Congratulations that it took you 50 games to work out that him and Towns can play well together. Amazingly, Dieng puts up a big line, Towns plays up a big line, and they play together. I don't know why it took 50 games to work that out. I don't know if it will continue to happen when Kevin Garnett returns from his knee issue, but clearly it works. Dieng should be owned in all fantasy leagues, obviously. When he's given this opportunity, he goes big. I just had zero trust in Sam Mitchell doing the right thing, because we hadn't seen him do the right thing all season. Once he has done it, it's working out brilliantly for Gorgui Dieng. That sort of lineup would have given you 386.8 points. Not a bad little haul of points if you happen to have that, which, hey, that means you would have rostered Tyler Hansbrough, and I don't think you would have done that. All right, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back to look at the box scores in a little bit more detail. All right, guys, we're back now. Let's look at these box scores, these games from Friday. Get us all ready to see what information we can get out of them. The first one is the Orlando Magic and the Boston Celtics. Aaron Gordon, really solid night. 26 minutes, 12-9, a couple of threes, a steal, 2 assists. Good performance there. His shooting wasn't great, but his upside is tremendous. If he's going to get this 27 to 30 minute roll, which we hope it pushes a bit to closer to 30, but this game was a blowout, so minutes were reduced all over the board. So you saw Lord Alfred Payton, Nick Vucevic, Toby Harris, Victor Oladipo all playing less than 30, with the Celtics destroying the Magic. So I think that Gordon is more likely to be a 30 minute guy. He should be owned in all leagues. Nick Vucevic, 14-8-4 with a block, again minutes reduced. Lord Alfred Payton, 12-2-1 with 2 steals, minutes reduced. All these guys. We saw Shabazz Napier play 18 minutes for the second game in a row. Decent run for him. 13 points with 3 triples and 3 assists. He's still only a deeper league sort of guy, and I'm not putting massive amounts of stock into this one again because it was a blowout and he got that extra run. There were, it's probably 6 or 7 minutes from Alfred Payton, 6 or 7 minutes from Oladipo that needs to go back onto their total, which could easily come out of Shabazz Napier's total. So not looking at him and going, 14 teamers, I need to go and add Shabazz Napier, is cutting into playing time. Evan Fournier played just 18 minutes. This was a case of Keith Appling played 7 minutes. So look at that. When you see a guy that you go, who's this guy? And you see him play minutes, then you know that there was a stack of garbage time. It obviously affected the Celtics as well because they smashed him. And you know, there was minutes spread all over the place here. Jonas Jerebko played 22 minutes and had 13 and 10 with three triples. I really like Jonas Jerebko. I don't think he's as good as their other big men, but I do really like him. If he was on a worse team and was in a starting role, he would have tremendous fantasy value. A guy who does have tremendous fantasy value is Marcus Smart. 16, 2 and 4, 3 steals, 1 block, 3 triples. He's really turning it on after coming back from this leg injury and showing that he could be a top 60 or maybe even top 50 player in the next season or two. Love his dynasty outlook. Really got to watch his percentages though. He was good here though, 5 of 9 from the field, but he can be a legit, you know, 17, 5 and 5, 2 steals, 2 threes guys, and that is crazy, crazy good. Maybe that's probably the upper limit of where he can go, but he's turning it on at the moment. Evan Turner is another guy who's turning it on. He only played 25 minutes, 15, 2 and 8 with 2 steals, but he's a guy that you need to look at in 12-team leagues. It may not be appealing, it may be downright unpalatable to own Evan Turner, but over the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 5.6 assists a game, 4 rebounds and a steal on 58 and 86%. Yeah, those numbers are useful. You can't deny that that's useful. Now, he gives you 0 threes, 0 blocks, low scoring, but if you're looking for those assists, which 5.6 assists is not, or it's impossible to come across basically, but you can come across Evan Turner on the waiver wire. Make sure you go and have a look to see if he's there, especially if you need a short-term bump over the Saturday and Sunday in a head-to-head matchup. He's going to be one of your best options. Jay Crowder went 15, 4, and 2, had 3 triples, a steal, and a block. Continues to be really good. How about the big men? 21 minutes to Sullinger, 11 and 11 with 2 blocks. Tick, I like that game. Kelly Olynyk, 20 minutes, 16, 4, and 3 with a block and a 3. I also like that performance. Amir Johnson, 21 minutes, 5 and 7 with a block. That's not terrible. The problem was they all got 21, 20, 21 minutes, as Jerebko got the most minutes out of all of those players. Again, it was a blowout. Brad Stevens is going to do that. But Sullinger, Olynyk, and Johnson probably should be owned in most 12-team leagues. Isaiah Thomas had the 14 points and 8 assists, and Avery Bradley, not his best night, just the 6 points in 33 minutes. The next game up, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Detroit Pistons. Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, all scoring over 20. Love went 29, 6, and 3 with 5 triples. A huge, huge boost to get 5 triples out of your power forward. And Kyrie went 28, 4, and 2 with a steal on 11 of 19 shooting. Now, Irving's minutes have been depressed, and whenever the games are out of hand, he was being reduced, but he played 32 minutes here. He is not being valued for what he can be. You can have Kyrie Irving at 50 cents on the dollar in most places in a trade, because people forget he was a top 15 player last season. You might be able to get yourself a top 15 second half player, maybe let's say top 20, for the value of maybe a top 40 guy, maybe a top 50 guy. I reckon you can do an upgrade and get Kyrie. Yeah, there'll be a couple of games in the next week or two, especially when he plays 20 minutes, or not even 20, like 25 or 26. But when he's going full pace and, you know, flat out, you're going to have a very high-level player on your team that you've acquired at a pretty decent discount. That window is going to close soon, and it's probably not a great idea to do it after this game. But in the next one where he plays 25 minutes when it's a blowout, see what you can get for him. Because I reckon you can, or not get for him, see what you can use to get him. Because I think that you can get him at a discount. LeBron, 29 and 8 with a steal, and Tristan Thompson grabbed 14 boards in his 31 minutes, also blocked a shot. His value remains the same. If you need rebounds, good. If you don't, no. And Timofey Mozgov, 19 minutes for 12 and 8. He's still only clearly a deeper league player. Matthew Dellavedova, much like Evan Turner before, he's a really nice source, a cheap source of assists off the waiver wire. He had another 4 in 21 minutes. He's not doing much in many other areas, but he can go for 6 and 7 assists at a time in 24, 25 minutes. And that can be a real help at the end of a week in a matchup to try and get those extra, you know, dimes to catch up. He plays, you know, 2 games over the last 3 days of the week, 8, 10, 12 assists maybe. That could be the difference. So just keep an eye on Dally. J.R. Smith, not a good night. 2 of 10 shooting for 6 points. They were both 3, so a little bit of something there, but he's been red hot, so he has to be owned. Onto the Pistons. KCP, 19 and 7. 2 threes, 1 steal, 1 block. A really nice all-round line from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And Andre Drummond had 20 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 blocks. in his 35 minutes. So the last couple of games have been good to Drummond. No hacking, no benching, no nothing. Well, no extreme hacking, no benching, nothing along those lines. But it's Stanley Johnson who's causing waves at the moment. He played 30 minutes for the second consecutive game, had 15 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 3, 1 steal. Been talking a little bit about Stanley Johnson lately, and he's not blowing us away just yet, but he could be a top 100 guy post All-Star break. And if in a weekly changes league, in a roto league, I'd be all for looking to add him in a 12er on my bench and just holding him there and seeing what the next couple of weeks brings, because he's starting to close out games. He's playing final or fourth quarters. He's looking better. He's last week, he's going 13-3-3 with a steal and 1.5 threes on 55% shooting, which is obviously much better than the 39 he's shooting for the season. So he's improving. It might not work out, but I reckon you've got a potential top 100 guy there on your hands if you've got the ability to stash him for a couple of weeks. Hassan Ilyasova is trending down, 11-4 with a steal and a three. He's going to lose minutes if Johnson gains them. He's been playing pretty well this season, apart from this sort of recent stretch. He's not probably a must own at the moment. I've still got him, I think, in a couple of leagues. He's still a top 80 guy over the last 2 weeks, but the last few have been trending down. He's not someone that I'm rushing. Oh my God, I've got to drop Ersan. Yeah, Spud, he can't be held. No, it's very dependent on what you're doing, but he's not a I must lock this guy into my lineup sort of player. Reggie Jackson, 15-2-6, while Marcus Morris went 14-2-2 in his 30 minutes. And another quick reminder, if you're owning Brandon Jennings in a 12-team league, there's zero. Speaking of 0 points, he had 0 points in 16 minutes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Yes, he'll have a game where he has 16 points, and everyone will go all super hot fire on it. And they'll go, oh, Brandon Jennings is back, 20 points, yeah. But then he'll back it up with 3-4 point games. And the aggregate of that, the average of that, is not enough. It's not enough to... And you're banking on a guy coming back from Achilles injury who's not, doesn't have a body filled with adamantium like Wes Matthews. He comes back slow. He's not a traditionally great healer. It's just get someone else. If you think he's going to get traded to another team and be a starter and play 30 minutes, I'll be completely shocked if that happened. Completely. He just doesn't have it in him just yet. And even if he does play 30 minutes, I reckon you'll get horribly inefficient play and subpar play in 30 minutes. He's just not there yet. I like Brandon Jennings a lot as a player. Love him as a fantasy guy. It's not happening for him this year. And you've probably been holding him for 3 or 4 weeks. And honestly, that may have cost you 1 or 2 category wins over that time. There's going to be, in a standard league in particular, if you're in a 10-team league, forget about it. Zero chance. No hold. In a 12-team league, there's going to be plenty of other guys out there. Stream the spot in. You'll get much more value than what Jennings might even get if he somehow returns to relevancy. I don't see it happening. Marcus Morris, 14-2-2 in his 30 minutes. He still remains the same sort of guy. Can own him, but definitely not a must-own. D'Angelo Russell had a pretty interesting quote just saw come through there talking about the criticisms that he gets. He said, LeBron James still gets criticized. Jesus still gets criticized. So, yeah, he's putting himself in some pretty high company there. Just thought I'd say that as the notification came up on my screen. Anyway. The next game, the Phoenix Suns and the New York Knicks. The Suns predictably smashed again, but good to see PJ Tucker another nice night. 9-10, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. It doesn't always look pretty when you look at the box score, and that's because it starts with a single digit with 9 points, but he does so many things well. He should be owned in pretty much all leagues. Devin Booker played 27 minutes, and that was because of foul trouble, really, really early fouls. He still had 21 points on 8 of 15 shooting and hit 3 triples and had 3 assists. He'll be better than that, but doesn't need to be too much better than that, to be honest, to be a must-own guy. And Markieff Morris got 29 off the bench. He went 6-5 with 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. I do still own Markieff in a couple of 12-team leagues. One's a deeper 12-team league, like an extra 2 roster spots. And I own him in that. Own him in one other. I think it's the Red Rock Listener League I own him in as well. And just seeing what happens over this trade deadline. But he's playing enough where he's actually providing some value. He's not playing 10 minutes. He's playing 24, 25 minutes and having decent nights. And the 2 steals and the block is productive from Morris. He's not a must-own guy by any stretch, but I do like the idea of holding him in for the next week or so. The unpredictability of Jeff Hornacek rears its ugly head again. Alex Len, 17 minutes, 6-7 with a block. Tyson Chandler, 22 minutes, 12 boards. I'm holding Len. You can hold Chandler. Archie Goodwin only 23 minutes. 6-5 with 2 assists. Probably didn't help that he shot 3 of 15 from the field. But who else is playing the minutes? You know, we're giving Sonny Weems minutes. Don't understand it. Definitely still holding Archie Goodwin. By the way, the news on Brandon Knight doesn't seem good. I am not dropping him yet because it's only rumoured at this point, but he does have no timetable to return. And if you are battling for the playoffs, you may have to make a ballsy decision and just go, well, I can't hold this guy. I need to get someone else onto my roster. Do not accept Brandon Knight back in a trade for any value, because you might not see him again this year. The same goes with Tyreke Evans. You might not see them again this season. Now, Evans you'll probably see more likely than Knight, but do not accept them back in a trade unless we're talking dynasty. What I did like in this game is Jordan McRae played his first NBA game after signing a 10-day contract. He's been drafted by the Sixers, played some pretty nice ball in his first summer league, played down here in Australia, down in Melbourne, in the NBL in his first season. He played 25 minutes, had 12-2-4 with a 3 and a steal. Now, Jordan McRae reminds me a lot of Langston Galloway from last season. Signed to a 10-dayer, got a second 10-dayer, and then got a multi-year contract. McRae is very talented, I think. I think he can be a decent backup player in the NBA. And on a Suns team, that means he can be a really valuable contributor. I'm not adding him in 12-team leagues, but if my roster goes more than... Not my roster, my league, it rosters more than 175 players. I don't mind grabbing him as a speculative guy. If he can play 25 minutes off the bench, and he should play over Sonny Weems just to see what he's got, because we know what Weems is and it's not good. Anything deeper than 16-team leagues, go and grab McRae straight away and see how it plays out with him. But he could find himself with a decent role here. He played a little bit of point in this one as well. He just came off a 61-point game in the D-League, broke the D-League scoring record, which was set by Pierre Jackson. I think he had 56, Pierre. Now, McRae dropped to 60. He can be a very, very valuable fantasy player. He's someone to watch out for. You might want to go massively ballsy and grab him in a 12-team. Like, I don't think that's probably the way to go at this point, but hey, if I had Brandon Jennings, I'd drop him for Jordan McRae. And just to see what happens, I think McRae's got a better chance of being valuable this year, even though he's only on a 10-day contract. He is definitely someone to keep an eye on, and hey, the first game didn't do him any harm. The problem is that Jeff Hornacek is going to change things around like nobody's business, and that's going to have an impact on what he's able to do. But really promising start. TJ Warren, 12 points in 20 minutes. Nah, not for him in standard leagues. And Mirza Teletovic has gone ice cold. 17 minutes for 4 points. Can't be owned. Neither can John Lua, who played just the 12 minutes in his first game back from those back spasms. On the Knicks side of things, Mallow was back. Almost triple-doubled in his first game back from that knee issue. 19, 10, 8, 2 triples, 4 steals. Huge, huge game from Mallow. He looked really engaged. His passing was fantastic. Great to see from Mallow. And Langston Galloway, who I just touched on, 11, 7, and 5 with 2 triples, 3 steals, and a block. Completely producing across the box score. Now, when Jose Calderon comes back, he'll probably lose 4 or 5 minutes and make him not in the standard league conversation. We don't exactly know when Calderon is back, though, so Galloway's a nice short-term guy to have a look at and add. Jerian Grant got 21 minutes, 4, 3, and 2. I'm stashing him in deeper formats where I can have like a roto situation and use him off the bench, but that's it for now. Aaron Aflalo, very Aaron Aflalo-y, 17 points with 2 triples, 3 assists, and a steal. You know what you get from him. One of the people who left a review said that I'm maybe a little bit unfair in my criticisms of Aaron Aflalo, and my love for Evan Fournier and Nikola Mirotic is probably a little bit in the other direction. Hey, that's all fair criticism. But Aaron Aflalo is currently ranked 122nd on the season. He just doesn't do enough well. Yeah, he probably should be owned by some team in a 12-team league, but it doesn't need to be you, and he doesn't need to be owned. If he was on a waiver wire, I'm in a 12-team league, unless I was looking for an injection of 3-pointers and a little bit of points, then I would add him. Oh, that's not true, because he can influence your free throws. But he just is such a big negative in so many areas of Flalo. He's just not a great NBA player. I'd rather Galloway played over him any day of the week, from fantasy point of view and from a real life point of view. But yeah, maybe I am a little bit harsh on Aaron Aflalo. We saw also the return of
Porzingis.
He played 24 minutes coming back from his illness, 7-7, 2 steals, a block, not his best game, but we can give him a pass on that. And Robin Lopez, 13 and 5 with a block in 24 minutes. With Carmelo Anthony back, Derek Williams was not productive. 10 and, well, no, he actually, that's not true. He was productive. 10 and 8 in 19 minutes is productive, hitting all six of your free throws, but it's not enough for us to have any influence or any, for him to have any influence in standard leagues. Good story here. Thanasis Antetokounmpo made his NBA debut, played 2 minutes for 2 points. He's on a 10-day deal, and I'm not sure that he really sticks at all, but just really nice to see him playing in the league. He shows a little bit. He's really athletic, much like his brother, but not as good as his brother. But hey, good to see him playing a couple of minutes, scoring his first bucket, so shout out to Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Kylo Quinn played 15 minutes and blocked 4 shots. You know I'm a massive Cock fan. He just can't get enough minutes to be relevant. He's like one of those big guys who needs 25 minutes, and then he'd be a standard league guy. But it's not going to happen, especially with Porzingis and Lopez putting up, or you know, being the big guys there, who both should be getting, let's be honest, 30 minutes a night. They don't always, because hashtag Derek Fisher. And it's going to leave Cock on the outer, and he's not going to be able to squeeze in, you know, very often for big contributions and be able to explode all that often. But a nice 4-block performance from him, really a deeper league guy at this point. The next game to look at, the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. James Harden, 33-7-7, 2 threes, 2 steals, 2 block, no, 1 block, and 15 of 17 from the free throw line. Yeah, super productive from him. And Trevor Ariza, another start at power forward. Someone was asking me, when's he going to get power forward eligibility? I don't imagine it's going to be straight away. Maybe another week or so if he continues to start. I think Yahoo needs 5 starts at that position to grant eligibility. He's not there just yet, so maybe next week we might see that happen. But hey, they can be notoriously slow with doing that. Ariza had 8 points on 3 of 12 shooting. Not ideal. 2 threes, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, 1 block is beautiful. And he is extremely underrated in fantasy circles. If you can afford the punt field goal and you don't really need points, he provides in those other areas, and it has him ranked in that, you know, mid-rounds. And I don't think many people were aware of that. Go and look at him. Same things goes with Patrick Beverley. He was also 3 of 12 from the field for 9 points. Had 2 triples, but 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, and 1 block. Contributing right across the box score. He's not as good as Ariza. He's a back-end 12-team league guy. And like someone just asked me on Twitter a few minutes ago, who's a good punt assist point guard to look for? You're looking at him. Patrick Beverley is that guy, because his value is derived from steals, rebounds, threes. It's not derived from assists. He's a guy you can look at. Now, the Josh Smith bubble burst a little bit here. 15 minutes for him, with Clint Capela playing 23. Now, Capela played some extra because Dwight Howard only played 21 minutes before he was ejected, and Dwight Howard didn't have the greatest night. 8 and 8 with 2 steals and a block, and a horrific 4 of 15 from the free throw line. That's Drummond-esque. He was getting hacked very often, and then he got himself tossed. Back to Capela. Don't think he's a 12-team league guy. Josh Smith, a very debatable 12-team league guy. There's going to be nights like this, clearly, though. And a quick reminder that Terrence Jones continues to not be good. 14 minutes, 4 points, and 2 rebounds for Jones. It can't be owned in any daily changes, 12-team league, probably even 14-team league, to be honest. I do own him in a roto league. He is stashed on my bench. If there's someone else out there that I want, he's the next one to go, because what's happening? He's just doing nothing. Speaking of doing nothing, Ty Lawson played 18 minutes for 5 points with 4 assists, and he has no business in a 12-team league, while Corey Brewer had 17 points in 30 minutes, and ditto with him. On the Thunder, Russ Westbrook, another triple-double, 26, 10, and 14, a triple-one as well. His free throws have been a little bit off lately. He was 7 of 10 from the line in this one, but you are enjoying his counting stats at the moment. If I look up what his free throws have been doing recently, his last 2 weeks, you're getting 76%. That's below average. It's a little bit hurtful. 44% from the field goal, from the field goal line. Didn't know there was a field goal line. 44% from the field is also not ideal. It's a bit of a drop off recently, but when you're averaging in that time 22.5, 8.5, 12 with a 3 and over 2 steals, it's pretty tough to complain. And when you drafted Westbrook, if you didn't have in mind to punt field goal percentage anyway, then you probably weren't approaching it in the correct manner. Or if you didn't draft other guys to make up for that difference, then you have to consider that with him, clearly. Big game from Enes Kanter, 22 and 10, 2 steals, a block, Rockets bump, massive. He was massive, but how often does this happen with Enes Kanter? What's he going to do the next game? 8 and 4? He's so hard to own. He is ranked 115th on the season in only 21 minutes. That's productive. I'm happy owning him in a 12-team roto league. In a head-to-head league, I'm maybe not as excited about him, but it can fit certain situations. In a 14-team, absolutely. In a 12-teamer, I can take it or leave it. It really depends on the build-up or the build of my team and the makeup of my team, whether I hold on to him. Dion Wade has started again in place of Andre Robertson. 32 minutes, 16 points, including two triples, and had one steal. Really efficient, which is not his MO. He's not really a 12-team league sort of guy. And Steve Adams grabbed 10 boards with two blocks in his 24 minutes. Serge Ibaka, very close to the dud of the night, Serge. 2 points, two rebounds. The two blocks sort of saved him. 1 of 7 shooting was not good. He played only 26 minutes, had a lot of foul trouble. Really nice matchup for him going up against the Rockets, but obviously it didn't work out that way for him. He is in a bit of a slump. Had someone tweet at me that they'd rather just drop him than deal with a headache. I'm probably not at that point just yet with him. I don't know whether I own him anywhere, though. I'm pretty sure that I don't. But he's just, I don't know, his form at the moment is not good. He's still ranked inside the top 50 on the season, but his last month has him barely inside the top 100, and his block numbers have dropped off significantly. So he's just, yeah, he's still ownable. But to be honest, if it continues on this trajectory, he's going to be a guy that you can drop. And if you really are desperate, then maybe it's not a bad idea. Probably is a bad idea, but maybe it's not. The Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. Dwayne Wade is really in attack mode as his son. What did his son say? Keep attacking, dog? What did he say? I don't remember. It was funny anyway, that text message that his son sent him. 24, 4, and 7 for Wade. 3 steals, 3 blocks. Very efficient. He is riding high at the moment. If you're worried about Wade and his injuries, which you've got every right to do, not that Wade's had any issue really this season. He's missed a couple of games, but not much. Now is a great time to trade him. He's a top 10 player over the last week, averaging 26, 5, and 6.5. 2 steals, 2 blocks. Ludicrous numbers. They're not continuing. But he's got a brand name. He's got recognition. This is the time to sell Dwayne Wade because it is going to regress. He might get injured, but he is absolutely on fire. Chris Bosh, 26-5, a steal, a block, 2 triples. Great night from Bosh. And Luol Deng actually had a pretty decent night as well. 16-7 with a couple of threes, a steal, and a block. And he was a really nice DFS target. I was real close to putting him into my recommended plays yesterday. I think I still talked about him on the pod a fair bit, but he had a really nice performance against the Bucks. Amari Stoudemire really taking advantage of the poor Bucks front court. He started, played 24 minutes with Hassan Whiteside out, 12-8 with a couple of blocks. A really nice performance. There's no long-term value there with Amare. But just nice, a nice short-term performance. Goran Dragic was back. He played 32 minutes, 12 points and 8 assists. Had a steal on a 3, probably his best performance for a while. And he's back in business. Tyler Johnson's shoulder kept him out again. And Beno Udrih played 16 minutes. So either of those guys, standard league window is done. Josh McRoberts. I didn't know we were going to see him again. 16 minutes, 2 points, 1 steal, 1 block. Leave him alone in fantasy leagues. And Justice Winslow went back to doing nothing. 6-4-2 in 33 minutes after having a really nice sort of stretch of being able to put up some borderline standard league relevant numbers. The second Antetokounmpo of the night, Giannis, played 46 minutes out of a possible 48. That's a lot. 28-4-6, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Superbly efficient. Big, big night from Giannis. Huge. Just really tore the Heat apart. Didn't really see that one coming to that degree anyway. Greggy Monroe, 24-5 with a block. Really good. 10 of 11 from the free throw line. He's improved his free throws. That's anecdotal, actually. I might check out that. I feel that he's improved his free throws. Let's check what his free throws are sitting on this season. Don't want to give you misleading information. Yeah, he's shooting 86% over the last 2 weeks. He's a 77% shooter on the season, which is a career high as it is, and he's really taking it up a notch at the moment, over 80%. And he was a guy that, his first couple of seasons, he was a punt free throw sort of guy, 62% player. But much like a guy like Blake Griffin, turning it into a real positive for him, and 10 of 11 is a great result for him from the line. Nice offensive night from Jabari Parker, 17-5, added a steal and a block as well, and his steals are the real deal at the moment. And Michael Carter-Williams played only 26 minutes. Foul trouble limited him, 9-8-6 with 2 steals, while Jared Bayless couldn't get anything going in his 24 minutes, 0-4 for 0 points. He was a real 12-team guy at the start of the season. Went down with that ankle injury and is not anymore. And with OJ Mayo, whenever he comes back from this hamstring problem, which has obviously plagued him for big stretches this season, and Bayless is not worth owning. Chris Middleton, they played him enough to try and give him some big numbers. Didn't work out. He was 2 of 13 for 9 points, 7 rebounds and 2 steals, so still did a little bit. The assists weren't there, which have been a real staple of his game lately. Don't panic if you own Middleton. Miles Plumlee replaced John Henson in the rotation, 8-7 with a steal and a block for him. And that's probably about it. Johnny O'Brien, my favourite, was also out of this game. He was having a child. Well, he wasn't personally having a child, but his partner was. So big congratulations to Job. The Brooklyn Nets and the Dallas Mavericks. The Nets bench contributed 2 points to this game, and they came via Andrea Bargnani. Just a horrific, horrific performance from the bench for the Nets. Shane Larkin, 18 minutes. Bojan Bogdanovic, 19 minutes. Bargnani, 11 minutes. And just a real lot of crap. Markel Brown on his birthday played 1 minute. Congratulations, Markel. You have a pretty exciting birthday. I'll give you that. But not a good night. Brook Lopez was good, though. 28-12, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. A big night from Brook. And Thad Young nabbed 5 steals, which is part of his strength as a fantasy guy. 11-10 isn't too shabby as well. While Don Sloan played 35 minutes, 13-2-4, 2 threes, 2 steals. He's still a guy you have to own, but I don't think that 35 minutes is going to be a realistic projection for him heading forward. We've been seeing him basically do a 25-23 split with Shane Larkin on most nights, and I reckon that's probably where it will go. Decent outing from Wayne Ellington, 12-6 with a couple of threes and a steal. Who knows when that's going to happen next? Probably never. And Joey Johnson went 13-3-4 in his 38 minutes. And he is a guy that I think should be owned in all 12-team leagues. But I've said that plenty of times. I'm pretty sure I have anyway. On to the Mavericks. Zaza Pachulia returned straight back into the starting lineup. 32 minutes, 16-12, 3 assists. So that means no more Salah Mejri. Or does it? Yeah, it does. Now, Mejri played 9 minutes off the bench, you know, ahead of JaVale McGee in the rotation, which is fine because I really like what Mejri can do, but he's now restricted to deeper leagues only, and Zaza back in business. Chandler Parsons' hot form continued, 19-10, 3 triples, 3 assists, and Dirk blocked 4 shots. Yep, 12-8 for Dirk, 2 steals, 4 blocks, a massive, massive night from him. Jose Juan Barea played 25 minutes, and he hit 3 triples for 13 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists with a steal. And he's in a nice little run of form, but let's restrict him to 14 team leagues, I reckon. And Darren Williams just couldn't hit anything. 3 of 14 from the field, 8 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, and a steal. The assists are still nice, the field goals were not. And Wes Matthews' production, that was also not nice. 2, 5, and 3 from Wes, and he has, you know, look, he's done well to actually get back on the court, but even a guy who's as superhuman as him and freakishly recoverable as him, the Achilles has hurt him a lot. He's dropped almost 4 points a game from last season. Half a three less, half a rebound less, half an assist less, half a steal less. You know, gone from 45 to 39 from the field. These are big drops from what he was able to do last year in Portland, and he's playing 0.7 minutes less. So it's not because he's injured and having his minutes capped that these numbers have come down. His production is just not... Look, his game wasn't predicated on athleticism anyway, but the Achilles, it does have an impact. He's still ownable, obviously, but not much good's coming from him just at the moment. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Utah Jazz, I've spoken about Towns, I've spoken about Wiggins, I've even spoken briefly about Gorgui Dieng, but let's go on to him again. 20-15, 2 assists, 2 steals. Jeez, he looks good, doesn't he, when he gets out there? It's shocking to me that it's taken this long for him to play alongside Karl-Anthony Towns for big minutes. He should be owned everywhere, even in the limited minutes. He is ranked 81st on the year for only 24 minutes a game. But now he's got definite top 50 upside if he can keep this role. He probably won't because Sam Mitchell is certifiably insane with a lot of the things that he does, but it's looking promising. It's also looking pretty good for Zach LaVine. He played 31 minutes, 19 points and 3 assists, playing as the 2 guard more often than not, which is awesome. He was 9 of 12 from the field. He's a guy that should be owned in most places, but the return of Kevin Martin and the return of Kevin Garnett could pop a bubble in the LaVine and Dieng bubbles. Pop a bubble? That's not true. Pop the bubble of LaVine and Dieng when they both come back, which would be really unfortunate. Shabazz Muhammad is not a standard league player. 22 minutes, 11-4. When Rick Rubio, only the 3 points on 0 of 6 shooting. Not his strongest performance. 8 assists and 2 steals. Still helped you in those areas. But let's be honest, if you drafted Rubio, you weren't drafting him for his field goal percentage. Good to see Tayshaun Prince playing 26 minutes again and scoring 0 points. And clearly I say that facetiously. Onto the Jazz. Derek Favors back starting 35 minutes, 20 points, 9 rebounds, 1 block. Welcome back, Favors. It did impact Gordy Hayward a little bit, 12 and 5 with a 3, and Rudy Gobert went 14 and 12 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. So the Jazz getting all their guys back together, which is obviously good for them. Trey Lyles was restricted to 4 minutes with everyone back and healthy, and that's what's going to happen to a guy like that. Well, Trevor Booker was actually really productive in his 23 minutes, 11 and 8, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He is like a 14 to 16 team guy in a backup role. Rod Hood is playing some really good basketball at the moment. 22 points, 2 triples, 4 assists. He had a steal. He's a must-own player as well. He's not owned in every single league, but he is a top 35 player over the last 2 weeks, a top 20 guy recently. You're getting scoring, you're getting threes, which actually his threes were really down to start the year. He's coming on super strong. But you're getting a really nice source of assists. You're getting some, you're getting some awesome free throw percentage from him as well. He's a low turnover guy for you guys who are caring about turnovers. He is looking like one of the steals of last season's draft. Just putting up, outplaying so many of the guys who were drafted above him who had much higher reps. He just looks fantastic at the moment. Trey Burke hit 4 triples for 12 points and had 2 steals, but we'll leave him for some deeper leagues. And that's probably about it from the Jazz point of view. The Charlotte Hornets and the Portland Trailblazers. Really odd game here. The Blazers had the game, obviously, pretty comfortable. There was no Jeremy Lin. There was no Tyler Zeller. No, Cody Zeller. There was definitely no Tyler Zeller. No Cody Zeller. No Al Jefferson. And then PJ Hairston was dealing with an elbow issue that limited him. But Michael Kidd-Gilchrist returned. Ruled out for the season. He's back with 2.5 months to go, of course. 34 minutes in his first game. 13-7 with an assist. Now, I thought that Kidd-Gilchrist could have a real breakout this year, but he's never been a standard league guy in his career. Could he be one down the stretch? Absolutely. If you've got some garbage on the end of your roster, add him. See what happens. Can he turn his, let's be honest, elite defense into elite defensive numbers? Because that's been the thing that's really holding him back. He's a bad shooter, but his field goal percentage doesn't hurt you because it's high, because he takes shots he knows he can hit. He doesn't jack up threes. He doesn't hit threes. And if you're one of those people who's in that camp is, I need my small forwards to hit threes, well, look somewhere else, because he's not going to do that. What he's going to do is rebound above average for the position, and hopefully he can turn his elite defense into 1.5 to 2 steals a game, which would be tremendous. And then you get a guy who's going to be 7 rebounds, 1.5 steals, 14, 15 points, high field goal percentage. Then I get excited. For now, he's a mild blip. I love seeing him out there because I love him playing. But he's going to be he's going to be picked up in a lot of places. And like the like the Bobby Portis situation the other day, watch who gets dropped for Kidd-Gilchrist to be added. You might get some people making some ill-advised moves and dropping someone good to go and add him. Kemba Walker played just 24 minutes in this game. Inexcusable. 12, 3, and 4 with 2 triples and 4 steals. It wasn't his greatest night, but he's got to play more than 24 minutes. And Marvin Williams, 20 and 9, 4 triples, a steal and a block. Haven't heard anything about any injury for Kemba as well, by the way, for those of you who are interested. Spencer Hawes, not a nice night there for him with Tyler Hansbrough getting that extra run. 5 and 5 with 4 assists, a 3 and a steal. And with Kidd-Gilchrist back, he can play a little bit of the 4 as well. Marvin Williams is going to play some of the 4. Interesting to see what they do with this big man situation when Zeller returns and when Jefferson returns. Nick Batum was terrible. He was 1 of 11 in 40 minutes for 3 points. 4 rebounds, 8 assists, and a triple one is not bad. And I want to call out this person. They tweeted at me today, do I drop Nick Batum? And the reason I highlight that is that's the thought process on Nick Batum with some people. He's either going to be dropped or he can be had at a very, very cheap price in trades, because everyone's very quick to jump on Nick Batum when he struggles. He's a top 50 player this season. I think that if he hadn't been injured over this last few weeks, I think that he was a massive chance for an all-star nod. He's been that good. You don't drop top 50 players, but someone will drop him. Someone will trade him away way below value. He hasn't been good. The last month, which is 10 games for him, he's shooting 35%. But he's still giving you 1.5 threes, 5.5 rebounds, 6.5 assists. His steal and block numbers are down. But over the course of the season, he's looking good. He needs to be owned in all leagues. And if you can pick him up off the waiver wire, Well done. Congratulations. If you can get him for a trade for, you know, bench crap, do it. That's the only reason I said not to call this guy out, because you can ask, anyone can ask questions and it's worth exploring. But it just I use it to highlight what the thought process is on some guys around, and how you as a general collective of listeners can try and benefit from that. And that's, I think, one way in which you can do it. On to the Blazers, Al-Farouq Aminu, 17 and 12 with two steals. Good night for him. He hasn't done that for a while. He still probably should be owned in 12-team leagues, but definitely doesn't have a lock next to his name. Damian Lillard, 22, 5 and 6 with 3 steals and 2 threes. Good night from him, while CJ McCollum went 17, 5 and 5. And Alan Crabb chimed in 20 points with 2 triples as well in 32 minutes. Crabb is obviously not the same class as Lillard and McCollum, and he's not a 12-team league, in my opinion. 12-team league guy, in my opinion. Myers Leonard struggling to get into that as well. Only 17 minutes for him, 9 points with 4 assists. He was starting to look good, but Plumlee is cutting into his playing time as well. And speaking of cutting into playing time, Mo Harkless completely out of the rotation now as they give more minutes to Gerald Henderson. Not sure I really understand. Look, given to Alan Crabb, that's fine. He's played better than him. Not really sure I understand the let's give minutes to Gerald Henderson camp in Portland Bay, but they got a victory and they did it pretty comfortably. The next game, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers. A big, big night from Julius Randle. 23 and 14. Hit a three, had a steal as well. He is a points and rebounds guy. You're not going to get much else, but when he's efficient like this, he's worth owning. He's probably still worth owning. He's not. I don't think he's a must-own guy for the duration of the season because of his limitations. But for now, he's in a really nice hot streak sort of area. There was no Kobe in this game, but Lou Williams did return. Lou went 11-6-4 with 2 steals and a block, and Jordan Clarkson had 17-8-2. And just a quick thing on Lou Williams, you know, talk that the Lakers are looking to trade him. If you look on forums and comments, I am shocked at the Lakers fans' opinion on Lou Williams. Now, I know Facebook is not the bastion of basketball intelligence by looking through the comments, but the reverence which the Lakers are holding Lou Williams in, we can't trade him. He's our starting shooting guard of the future. He's going to be the starting shooting guard for the next 3 years. We can't trade him. Best player, scores 18 points. Like, really, dudes? Lou Williams? He's been good. Shouldn't be starting. He's been okay, but is he a piece of the next, not even great Lakers team? Is he a piece of the next above average Lakers team? No. No, he's not. Again, Josh, note to self, please don't read Facebook comments. It's not a good part of society. Anyway, Roy Hibbert, 12-5 with a couple of blocks. Pretty decent night from Hibbert, but I still don't want to own him. And with Kobe out, Anthony Brown played 34 minutes, 5-4-3. He has no really role in getting any sort of numbers that are relevant for fantasy. Larry Nance still can't get back into a decent role. 13 minutes in 4 points. He's not worth holding in 12-team leagues. And with Randle playing a lot better, maybe he doesn't get back into that starting role, despite Byron Scott's, you know, comments to the contrary earlier on. D'Angelo Russell, only 25 minutes, 8 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 triples, 3 of 10 shooting. Not a great night, but he's still a guy that I would hold. On to the Clippers side of things, Chris Paul, 27 points, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 3 threes. And guess what we had? We had Lance Stephenson scoring 16 points in 22 minutes, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 triples, 1 steal, 1 block. I've already had someone tweet at me, do I go and add Lance Stephenson with his breakout game? I'm pretty sure you can understand what my answer would be. It's a pretty definite no. He's had one good game all season, and it's against the worst team in the NBA. Yes, he was good, but you know who was also good? Austin Rivers, who had 17 points on 8 of 14 shooting. You'd have to be pretty deep to go and add Lance Stephenson. You're definitely not doing it in a standard league. I can't stress that enough. DeAndre Jordan, 6 and 17 with a steal and a block, while Wes Johnson started in place of Paul Pierce, with Pierce resting. And decent defensively, 2 steals and a block, but not a huge amount else. Really needs to hit a couple of threes to return value for him. Luke Mabmute, yep, he's a nothing. And JJ Redick, 22 minutes, not a great night from Redick. 7 points, 2 assists, 1 steal on 2 of 10 shooting. That's not a very common sight where you see JJ Redick shooting that poorly. All right, that is the games from Friday. It's time for a quick break, and then I'm going to be back to talk DFS for Saturday. I saw ya. just with the review part of the show, so I do apologize. Looks like today is going to be a relatively long one. But hey, here's a tip. If you want to listen to podcasts, listen to them in 1.5 speed or 1.4 or 1.7. You get through, it's like, yeah, I don't even know how best to describe it. That's how I listen to all my podcasts at 1.5. Yeah, my voice might sound extra fast, but you can still understand what I'm saying. And if their podcast goes for an hour, you get through it in 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And it saves you a fair bit of time. You can churn out more content after you've listened to this podcast, of course. Let's get into these games before I waffle on and waste more of your time. The Warriors and the Sixers. Ooh, Jesus. The Warriors are favored by 18 and the total is 218. That is a big total. It is exciting on the surface for the Warriors players. But do any of them top 30 minutes? Yes, the Sixers have been competitive lately, but the Warriors make the Spurs look uncompetitive. So it is not a thing against the Sixers. The Warriors playing anyone who's poor, the Nets, the Lakers, the Suns, who they'd all destroy by more than this. Yeah, the Timberwolves, you're worried about the Warriors sitting guys. This is not a Sixers-specific thing. So the idea of spending $11,100 on Steph Curry is not very appealing in this one. The idea of spending money on Draymond Green at $8,800, whose salary has come down, but he hasn't been really able to approach that value lately. It's not an appealing one. Harry Barnes is not a bad option at $4,500. They're still trying to play him into form. The matchup is promising. He hasn't really been doing much, but you might be able to get 25 points out of him, which is really nice for a cash game sort of situation. Other Warriors guys, nothing. Maybe Andy Bogut at $4,300. He's got a really good matchup. There's going to be no Festus Ezeli, but I don't really think it's hard to put a lot of Warriors. It's hard to put any Warriors guys in, to be honest. You might want to look at Klay Thompson. He's worth considering. He's at 7,000. Can he get to 35? He's not averaging that across the last five, just 30 points. He did put up 55 in the last one. But again, this is a spot where we might see 27 minutes from him. So not overly interested in a lot of these Warriors players. I don't mind Bob Cove from the Sixers, Robert Covington at 5,100. He's averaging almost 28 across the last three games. The matchup isn't that difficult for small forwards going up against the Warriors. So he's someone that you can have a look at. And 6,900 for Ish Smith is not... it's come down. It's not fantastic pricing wise, but it's not terrible. He can comfortably go for 30 points and really return value. Now Jahlil Okafor should be back, so that's going to reduce Nerlens Noel's effectiveness. Noel is priced at 6,800 and has been playing really, really well, but with Okafor back, it does limit what Noel's able to do, so I'll probably leave him alone. 6,400 for Okafor, probably a little bit high as well, just hasn't been able to achieve those numbers recently. Jeremy Grant's value will drop with Okafor back. He's at 4,700 and has been really good, but I'm not sure that he can really be as good as that in this sort of matchup and with Okafor back and taking some of those minutes away from him. The next game is the Detroit Pistons and the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are favored by 7.5 points. The total is 204 for this one. No injury concerns to worry about in this one. Andre Drummond's at 8,500. Really, really appealing price, assuming there's no hacking happening or not excessive hacking. I think this is a good spot for him. I imagine the game's relatively close, so he's a nice play. I like his opponent as well, Jonas Valanciunas at 6,500. He's averaging over 30 in his last three games. I think that he can approach 32 or 34 points here and be a very decent option. While Kyle Lowry at 9,000, one of the better high-priced point guards on the board, he is a 40-point average guy across his last three. Dropped 50 in the last one, and you get close to 4.5 to 5x value from him on most nights. 3,900 for Stan Johnson. He, as I said, 30 minutes in each of the last two games, put up 27 points in the last one, averaging 23 across the last three, which is plenty at 3,900. He is someone that comes into consideration, especially for your GPPs, but even in a cash game, it's not horrific. 7,100 for Reggie Jackson. Yeah, look, maybe, but not really. He hasn't been blowing anyone away recently, and the Luis Scola matchup is not ideal. Sorry, not Luis Scola, Kyle Lowry. Onto Luis Scola. This matchup for Luis Scola is not ideal. He's at 4,000. Won't use him. Won't use 3,800 on Pat either. Don't hate Corey Joseph at 3,900. He's been putting up some decent lines lately, averaging 23 across the last three. He's worth a look, but I'd probably end up looking elsewhere. And DeMar DeRozan at 8,200 just hasn't quite been in the right spot lately. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on defense on him does not make it an appealing matchup. Speaking of KCP, he's at 5,700. put up a nice 34-point line today, but I'm not really sure that his upside or even his consistency... His consistency is all right, but I don't think the floor for him is quite good enough for a cash game play at that salary. Not much else that really bears viewing in that one. The Denver Nuggets and the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are favored by 8, and the total is 208.5 points. Joffrey Lavernier is questionable with that toe issue. There is a lot happening in this one. Miles Turner started the last game, was brilliant, 28.7 points. His salary's already risen to 5,100. That's not prohibitive. We still use that. He's averaging more than that over his last five games, averaging 31 points in that time frame. Played really well next to Jan Mahinmi, and I think Mahinmi's a decent guy to use against a weakened Denver front court. Mahinmi's at 5,000, 5,100 for Turner. If I'm picking one of them, I'm picking Turner, but Mahinmi is not a guy to avoid, and I think Mahinmi's ownership will be pretty low. CJ Miles at 4,000, he's been doing nothing lately. Despite how tasty this matchup is, you'd only want to restrict him to a tournament. That's about it. While Paul George at 8,500 struggled mightily in his last game, but again, really positive matchup for him. Only 8,500. If you're getting some cheap options elsewhere, Paul George has got 50 points in him in this one, I think. Or at least he's got the potential to approach that. Emmanuel Mudiay has looked a lot better lately. He played 33 minutes in the last game with a... Jameer Nelson less than 20, so it looks to have that starting job wrapped up. 5,200 as a salary, not bad, averaging just under 25 in his last five, so right on where he needs to be. He doesn't feel like he's got complete bust potential either, so not a bad cash game option. If I'm looking at him, or you can spend 500 more against George Hill, I'd probably take Mudiay because I think that he feels a little bit more stable at the moment, which is odd to say. 6,200 for Will Barton, definitely playing a little bit better recently, averaging over 30 in the last three. He is prone to having games where he gets his minutes stripped back, and that makes him risky in cash games, but he's not a bad option. While Monte Ellis at 6,600 has been thriving lately, he did say he had his knee drained on January the 11th, and that's obviously freed him up a bit because he's looked fantastic, averaging 33 in the last three games and dropped 50 in the last one where he was the monstrous line of the night. So Monte Ellis is definitely someone that I can get behind as a shooting guard. And Nikola Jokic, he's at 5,400. He's been fantastic in such limited minutes. The Pacers do restrict big men, but how do you restrict someone as good as Jokic? I'm only half joking. 5,400, do you think he can get you 27 points? I reckon you're a pretty good chance. He's averaging 30 across his last five in just 22 minutes. If Joffrey Lavernier is out, they're going to hopefully have to play him 25 minutes. Let's hope. Ken Fareed at 6,200. No, I don't want anything to do with that. And 7,200 for Danilo Gallinari. It feels like he's just going to be consistently in that mid-30s range most of the time and be a really sort of stable presence in your DFS lineup. Don't expect too much out of him, but I think that he is not a horrible guy to have a look at. Gary Harris at 4,600 has been really struggling lately. He's probably more of a tournament play, and that's about it. The Brooklyn Nets and the New Orleans Pelicans. No spread for this one because we do not know if Anthony Davis is playing, nor do we know if Tyreke Evans is playing. They're both currently listed as questionable. Evans with the knee and Davis with the concussion. Norris Cole's at 4,700. If Evans is out, this matchup is beautiful for him. Even if Evans plays, I like Cole a lot here. And I love Drew Holiday at 7,000, who is averaging over 44 in his last three games. You couldn't get an easier matchup than the Nets at the moment. So both Cole and Holiday are definitely in play. And Anthony Davis at 10,000. I know there's going to be plenty of you going, that guy's a bum, he's weak, I'm not playing him ever again, cost me money. That's fine. But he's priced at 10,000. That's a depressed salary. He's playing against the Brooklyn Nets. And remember, there are going to be other people you're playing against who are going to have that thought process. So ownership will probably be lower than what you see most times from Davis. Yeah, look, he can go down with an injury, and he seems to go down with more injuries than anyone else. I know that. But you're swearing off a player forever in fantasy. It's not productive, I don't think. I don't think it overall benefits you. I think that Davis is a nice play, even in a tournament here, because there'll be lots of people with that thought process. Never again with Davis. Never again. He needs to man up. There'll be plenty of people that say that. Not a bad spot for him to actually go out and blow up. Wayne Ellington at 3,700. Bit of an odd name to throw in. Nice cash game play. Good, decent matchup. Minutes have been his, averaging over 30 in the last three. and he's putting up over 20 points. And at 3,700, if you get 20 points, bang, you're on 5X right there. He does have the ability to get hot and drop 5 or 6 3-pointers in a game, and that can really take his total up. He can't do much else, but he can be useful at that sort of price tag. Not using Tyreek, because I just don't think he's going to play minutes, even if he does play. Ryan Anderson at 6,200, I'll use him if Davis doesn't play. If Davis does play, forget about it. And Brook Lopez at 8,100, really, really positive matchup for him. I think that he is definitely in play to be used in this game. He's at 8,100, but he is a 40-point, over 43 average across the last three. Yeah, not quite as good over his last five, had a couple of stinkers in there, but he's rolling at the moment. Don Sloan at 4,400. You don't know which Don Sloan you're going to get, the one that plays 25 or the one that plays 35 minutes. And that makes him a risky play, and his upside is not massive either. Alonzo G at 4,100. Again, just quietly chugging along and getting you 20 points a game, averaging 20, 23 across the last three. Yeah, he's got a floor in his last five of 16.3. And at minimum salary, especially for a cash game situation, you can plug him into a cash game lineup and go, I might get 25 points or 23 points out of my sub 4,000 guy. Yeah, now I can put Paul George in. Now I can put Anthony Davis in at 10,000 and stack a couple of studs in if you can get that out of G. So don't completely write Alonzo G off because he is in a pretty nice run of form. Bryce DeJean-Jones put up 24.4 points, his minimum salary in the last game. If we hear that he is going to be the starter, by all means, roster him. He played a surprising 34 minutes in the last game. Not sure that that will happen again. It could, but you know, there's risk involved. But if we hear that he's going to be the starter, you'd have to think that Gentry would run a similar sort of rotation. He might do something completely different and play Tony Douglas more minutes. But DeJean Jones at minimum salary to get 25 points out of it, it can be nice. The Sacramento Kings and the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are favored by 2.5, and the total is 203.5 points in this one. No injuries to really be too concerned about. Rudy Gay is back for the Kings. Willie Cauley-Stein at 4,300. Terrible game in the last one. Got torched by Ryan Anderson. Not really sure that any of the Grizzlies are going to be able to torch him like that. So I think he's back for a bounce back here and should top 25 points in this game. While Zach Randolph at 5,800, he's too risky to me. Look, the matchup's beautiful for him, but is he going to play 28 minutes? Is he going to play 20 minutes? What production are you going to get? He's strictly a tournament sort of player. Marc Gasol at 8,100, really, really good matchup here against Boogie and against the Kings defense. Not super exciting, not real great tournament option, but he can be a nice 40, 42 sort of point guy and put up nice solid numbers. Well, Mike Conley at 6,600 probably feels just a little bit high at the moment after he's come back from this injury, but it is a positive matchup for him as well. Matt Barnes, Jeff Green, Courtney Lee. Who knows how this is going to come out. You've got Courtney Lee price at 4,000. I don't like him. Matt Barnes at 5,000. That feels a little bit too high. Jeff Green at 5,200. He's a guy that maybe you throw into a tournament because he's very, very up and down. And that's sort of how I... Yeah. And Tony Allen at 47. Yeah, he's in a similar sort of boat. He's just... let's leave him out of it. Rajon Rondo is at 8,700. He is averaging over 40 in the last five games. His lowest score in his last five is 34.5. His highest score is 46, so he's right in that area. Okay using him, but the Grizzlies do restrict point guards pretty well, so there's a little bit of risk associated there, but not enough to totally dissuade me from using him. I won't be using Rudy Gay, but DeMarcus Cousins now, 11,300. We know how good Boogie has been. We put up another 53 in the last game, but Marc Gasol defense, Grizzlies defense, exorbitant salary, probably a time to fade Boogie here. I'll probably end up regretting that, but I think it's a decent spot to fade him. Ben McLemore at 3,900 probably loses a bit of his opportunity with Rudy Gay back, but he dropped 36 in the last game. He's a tournament-only option at this point, while Mario Chalmers at 5,100. He's actually been playing okay, but that 5,100 salary is sort of still remnants from when he was starting earlier on in January. So, in essence, don't use Mario Chalmers. The Washington Wizards get the Houston Rockets bump. They travel to Houston. The Rockets are favored by 3. The total is a massive 218.5. Chris Humphries is questionable. He probably won't play. And Otto Porter is questionable with that hip tightness. So if Porter is out, then that means there's going to be more minutes for Garrett Temple. And at 4,600, he is a tournament option. He put up 32 in the last game, but he also stinks in most games. That's why he's a tournament play. Josh Smith at 4,100, he is a tournament option for me as well. And Pat Beverley at 4,400. I feel more confident with him in cash games. Doesn't really have massive upside, but he is averaging 25, almost 25 in the last three games. And at 4,400, almost right where you need it to be. Now, I'd love if Otto Porter could play. He's got a really nice matchup, but we don't know. So, hey, we don't know what's happening there. 4,500 for Nene. Could he get the Rockets bump? He put up 27 in the last game. He's averaging 22 across his last five. He's at 4,500. He's going to start until his legs fall off, it appears like. He's going to get mid-20s in minutes. Not a bad guy to look at, to be honest, and I don't imagine many guys will be looking at him. Marcin Gortat is at 6,900. Feels probably a bit expensive for the sort of production we've been getting from him lately. And Johnny Wall at 9,700. We saw what Russ Westbrook was able to do today against the Rockets. Not sure that Wall has as much of a personal vendetta against the Rockets as what Westbrook does. And at 9,700, do you think he can approach 50? I'm a little bit skeptical that he can do that. 10,200 for James Harden. I'm more confident in James Harden going for 50 than I am in Johnny Wall doing that. Dwight at 8,100 has only played 22 minutes in the last couple of games. Ejection was one of them. Coming back from an injury was the other one, and getting destroyed by the Spurs was the other reason. He should get his back to his big minutes. I think his ownership will be fairly low, but I'm still probably not going to be wanting to spend $8,000 on him. 5,700 for Trevor Ariza, really taking to playing power forward and getting those extra boards, and he's averaging 33 over his last five games. I think he's a really decent guy to have a look at. Brad Beal, no thanks. Corey Brewer at 3,600 has intrigue in a tournament, but that's probably about it. Clint Capella, Terrence Jones, use them at your own peril. The last game of the night does not exude a huge amount of fantasy value. The San Antonio Spurs and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Spurs are favored by two. The total is 205.5. There is not a lot that you're going to really love here fantasy-wise. Tristan Thompson at 4,500 feels low in salary. He put up another 29 today. He's averaging 26 across the last three. But it's the Spurs. Are they going to impact him that much? I'd be okay using him in a tournament, and that's probably about it. And I don't hate Kevin Love at 7,300. But again, Spurs, it's not good for these guys. Kyrie at 66, he's probably one of the guys I can get behind at 6,600. He just needs to go for 32 or 33 points to get 5x value. He has torched the Spurs in the past. He's too quick for Tony Parker. And they're not going to switch LeBron onto him because LeBron's going to go they're not going to switch Kawhi on him because Kawhi is going to go onto LeBron. I'm not using Kawhi at 7,300. It's too expensive for him given his limited production recently. LaMarcus Aldridge at 69. This is a nice spot for him going up against Kevin Love. I think that he could get 35 points in this one, so he's not someone to rule out completely. 9,800 for LeBron. Kawhi's on him. We can forget about that. J.R. Smith at 5,200. Danny Green's on him. I think we can forget about that as well. And what about Danny Green? He's at 4,200. He's averaging 28 across his last three. The matchup is not difficult for him. He's worth a throw-in into a tournament, absolutely, at 4,200. I'd probably not rely upon him in a cash game or trusting him in a cash game, but at 4,200, yeah, sure. David West is another one I'd throw into in a tournament with Tim Duncan already ruled out, and same with Boban Marjanovic, who's at price at 3,900. He might get 15 minutes, and seriously, for Boban, 15 minutes means 25 fantasy points is on the board, which is basically what he did in the last one. The game's probably not going to be a blowout, so we might not see that much Boban. But if it is, Boban gets in there, he puts up fantasy points at a ridiculous clip. He'd be someone to look at in a tournament, and maybe it pays off. I'm not overly confident in that happening, though. Let's bring up the DFS picks of the day. At point guard, Norris Cole, 47, and his teammate Drew Holiday at 7,000, while Kyle Lowry is the more expensive guy at 9,000. Shooting guards, Wayne Ellington at 37, Monte Ellis, 6,600, and Jim Harden at 10,200. Small forward, Stan Johnson, 39, Robert Covington at 51, and Paul George at 85. Power forwards, Nene, 4,500, Miles Turner, 51, and Tony Davis at 10,000. And the centers, Jan Mahinmi, 5,000, Jonas Valanciunas at 6,500, and Andre Drummond at 8,500. All right, we are done, guys. Sorry about the extended length of today's podcast. Obviously, there was a lot to talk about. Some really big performances in the NBA. Some interesting stuff to look forward to for Saturday. Don't forget, enter the contest to win an NBA jersey, courtesy of the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. All you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. And if you are lucky, reviewer number 400, you will win a jersey. I think in the next 24 hours, I'm going to be able to announce that. That's my guess. We are that close to it. So you guys get in there, leave your reviews, and hopefully you can get a chance, or you will get a chance. Hopefully you can win that NBA jersey. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. Basketball Monster is at @BaskMonster. Follow me on Instagram at @RedRock_Bball, and the Facebook page is facebook.com/RedRockBasketball. Of course, there's hardwoodparoxysm.com, there's basketballmonster.com, heaps of stuff all around the site that I'm involved in, and you can check all that out. And don't forget to help out the sponsors, well, not help them out, go and enjoy them, use their product, moneyball.com.au. If you are in Australia or in New Zealand, get some daily fantasy action coming. All right, I think we're done. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.